Well, hello everybody. Welcome once again to the Nefesh Podcast. This is episode 43. I am so happy you are with us. Well, this week I want to invite you into practicing with me a discipline, a spiritual practice that has been a part of the church for almost 1,000 years, if not more. And the practice is called Lectio Divina. That phrase Lectio Divina in Latin, it originates in Latin. It just means divine reading. And it is also known as spiritual reading. And it is the practice of reading scripture in a meditative way that allows scripture to become part of us, that allows us to truly reflect upon it, meditate upon it, and live it out. You know, today we are so inundated with information that and so overstimulated that the idea of really, really meditating upon scripture, I think the essence of it is actually foreign to us. Even those of us who may read scripture on a daily basis, or we make it a habit to become part of our lives in some way, reflect upon this aspect. When you're reading scripture, are you reading the scripture to get through it? Are you reading the scripture to, maybe reading it quickly to get it through in a year? And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I highly recommend taking the time to read scripture through in a set amount of time, a year, and maybe doing that for a couple of years, as that there's really great benefit in reading the whole thing from start to finish and trying to get the essence of the whole work. Years ago in Bible college, it was often a practice in some of the Bible classes to read the entire book that you were studying, the book of Acts or the book of Ezekiel or John, and read it through in one sitting. So from start to finish, just take a couple of hours and sit there and read the entire thing from start to finish. You just grasp a greater understanding of the continuity, the themes, and it helps to create a foundation from what that book is saying. Well, often, whether we're reading the Bible through in a set pattern, or we are preparing for a lesson or a sermon, or we're going to scripture to look up something, often it's typical to find ourselves dissecting it, analyzing it, looking up the Greek and the Hebrew, and I've done that, and I enjoy it. I love to analyze things. And so I've spent many years just really dissecting scripture and analyzing it, breaking it down word for word, and analyzing the Greek and the Hebrew as much as I could understand those terms. And I loved getting into the depth of it and understanding, you know, that the word perfect in Matthew 5:42, I think it's Matthew 5:42, really means whole and complete and mature. And breaking down the idea of when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That word temple in the Greek is referencing the Holy of Holies, or the habitation of God. There's so much value in that. And there absolutely is. And for those of you who love to dive into that to really help you to understand scripture more, there is absolute value. That is a discipline that Dallas Willard and others would refer to as the discipline of study. So in the spiritual formation practices, there are so many aspects of our lives that can be spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. And for those of you who don't like to be locked into categories, or you don't want to follow the trends, you kind of want to create your own way, there's good news. You can create your own spiritual discipline or spiritual practice as long as it is rooted in your desire to grow into Christ-likeness, so that you can impact the world, impact the lives of others. And lately for me, this idea of the discipline of slowing down, is become very important to me. I've not heard anybody else refer to it as that. Somebody else may have coined it. It's not a complicated idea, but literally the idea of slowing down, that I, the world, all of us, but especially me, am running too fast, too hard, and have gotten caught up in the busyness of life, and that I am feeling the Holy Spirit draw me into practicing the discipline of slowing down, which is moving more slowly, even walking slower. I can tend to walk fast if I know where I'm going. Talking fast, that's one of my weaknesses. When I get really excited, I just begin to talk passionately and my words get all jumbled together and I get really excited and my voice gets all intense. But just slowing down even to speak more slowly. Noticing even if I'm doing something quickly. I came up behind somebody, it was a while ago, a friend, and I was kind of rubbing her shoulders, just kind of as a, you know, like as a pat, like, hey, how are you? And I just kind of squeezed one or both of her shoulders, I don't remember. And she's like, ow! That's too hard. And you know, for me, I didn't even think about it, but it was just like, you know, hey, how are you? Just giving you like a little, you know, love tap or whatever. And just the intensity, I guess, of my fingers was a lot, you know, even slowing down to realize, you know, how I may be interacting with others or whether I'm petting, you know, the cat too hard or squeezing somebody's hand or whatever it might be. The discipline of slowing down. It's a discipline that I haven't read necessarily from a book, but I feel the Lord calling me into right now in my life. Dallas Willard talks about the discipline of not having the last word. And again, I don't know that that's something that's actually in any of his writings, but has been passed down to me from several of his friends and those who studied under him. And I've had the privilege of talking with, and where he, as part of his experience and his own spiritual formation, as much as he would like to come back with an argument or a conclusion or put somebody in their place, the discipline of not having the last word. There are all sorts of disciplines that we can practice, and the discipline of study, especially the study of Scripture, is so important. And let me just say, you don't need to go to Bible college or college to do this. There's so many resources out there that can help you, and great websites that can help you break down and analyze and really study Scripture and study Scripture for yourself. Lectio Divina is different from the discipline of study. And for those of you who are new to Scripture reading, for those of you who want to engage in reading the Bible in a transformative way and a way that brings understanding, maybe you've longed to engage Scripture. Maybe you've always wanted to read Scripture. Maybe you've felt the need to read and meditate on Scripture, but you had no idea how to do it. And maybe you started in places like Genesis and you read the first few chapters and then you got stuck in chapter 5 where it's the genealogy and you thought, I don't think I can do this. Or maybe you started in the book of Revelation because you wanted to see how everything ends and you're thinking, this is too scary. Or maybe you think really that despite the fact that your pastors and friends and me and others are telling you to read the Bible, you just feel like it's really not meant for every person to understand, that, you know, you'll hear the word on Sundays or on the podcasts and that'll be enough for you. Well, Lectio Divina is a place where you can start. It's a practice that you can use to invite God into your awareness and to invite him to speak to you on a daily basis. It takes just a few minutes of practice each day. And because it is such a powerful form of not only reading Scripture and really, really, as we would say, chewing on it, meditating on it, it's also a way for you to connect with God in very real ways. Scripture tells us that God's presence is always with us. And in Hebrews, as well as the Old Testament, the scripture says that God has said he will never leave us or forsake us. In Psalms, it says, David, the writer of one of the Psalms, I can't remember which chapter, he says, "When I awake, I am still with you." This is David saying to God, "When I awake, I am still with you." That I've not left your presence and your presence has not left me. That in Psalm, I think it's Psalm, either Psalm 138 or Psalm 139, David talks about not being able to escape God's presence. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell or Sheol, you are there. And really, David wasn't referencing our current understanding of hell. He was referencing the vague notion of this shadowy world. Sheol means shades or shadows. And it was just the Old Testament people really didn't have a concept of heaven and hell like we do. And so it was the place where you went in the afterlife. And it wasn't necessarily a great place. It wasn't a place you were looking forward to. But it was a belief that even then, that the psalmist said, I can't, your presence is always with me. And even if I go to the ends of the earth, you are still with me. We believe that God's, or at least we read that scripture tells us that God's presence is with us all the time. But if you're like me, the challenge is reminding myself that God's presence is with me all the time. It is remembering that wherever I am, God's presence is with me. And it's the challenge of remembering, even in my prayer and Bible reading time, that God wants to be there. It's easy for all of us to check off prayer and Bible reading and any other spiritual practice, like going to church, as something we've done for the day or for the week. And we forget to actually invite God to be with us or to speak to us. If you're like me, even if I do consciously attempt to invite God to speak to me, my mind wanders and I'm thinking about my day because I spend time in the morning in this practice, and I it's easy to get off track and to lose focus. And God isn't upset with us when that happens. He just reminds us to come back and to bring our awareness to him. There's nothing weird or magical about this practice. And this is what I love about all of the spiritual practices. And again, those that the church has been practicing for thousands of years, as well as those that we are currently engaging in. For example, a media fast, fasting from all technology and media for a certain period of time. I recommend that all of us do that on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis, so that we can unplug from technology and we can engage God, quiet our senses, our overstimulated minds and emotions, and just slow down. Well, that's a new spiritual practice, but it can have incredible impact. Whether these spiritual practices are old or new, they are simply ways for us to intentionally grow into Christ's likeness. Well, as I mentioned, Lectio Divina is an ancient practice, and it goes back even as far back as the 12th or 13th century. And the original four stages or four steps of Lectio Divina encompass the whole practice. The first step is Lectio, the second step is meditatio, the third step is oratio, and the fourth step is contemplatio. And because the Latin is so close to our English, you can pretty much understand what those terms mean, other than maybe lectio. Lectio is just the reading, means reading or kind of speaking. And so you have the lectio, the reading or the speaking of scripture, and then you have meditatio, which is literally meditating on the scripture you've just read. Then oratio is, as we understand it, means communicating or speaking. So we are praying back what we have heard and received. And then contemplatio, in the ancient practice, contemplatio meant waiting once again, yielding our hearts once again to the Lord before we move on, before we begin to pray or move on from or close out the Lectio Divina, as a way of contemplating on what we have heard and then living it out. Well, Robert Mulholland, the late Robert Mulholland, who wrote really, really great books on spiritual formation as well as other things, and his book that I'm referencing here is called Invitation to a Journey, and I recommend it. It's a very good book. He is able to break down spiritual formation into so many effective ways, and even into our personality types and how we approach our walk with God differently based upon our personalities. And I think this can be helpful for those of you who may have a different or maybe even a negative understanding of spiritual formation, that everybody is called to be contemplatives who live out in the desert and look a little crazy as if they've never seen the light of day and are these wise Yoda types who speak very seldom. And that's not, you know, that may be the picture that we have at times when we think of spiritual formation. And maybe because some people have kind of represented that, maybe in good or negative ways. But I like the way Mulholland approaches it in a very practical way and really encourages all. He utilizes the Myers-Briggs personality test to emphasize whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, whether you're a person who analyzes and thinks, or those of who have more sensing and emotive and other, you know, ways of interacting with life, that there was a way for all of us to engage spiritual formation, that it is practical for today. Well, I like the way Mulholland adds two additional steps. And he says the reason why he does this is because we today, in our overloaded informational, technological, overstimulated life, that we today need two additional steps. And the first one is silencio, and it comes before lectio. And the first step, silencio, is where we silence our hearts and our minds as we come to God and as we bring our awareness and our attentiveness to Him. And so before we even read the scripture, we come in silence, not rushing in, not coming in with, you know, all of the stuff that may keep us from reading scripture. We pause before we read scripture. One of my professors from school, Dr. David Clark, he made a joke about Assemblies of God churches, really all Pentecostal churches. There's a passage in the book of Revelation that says there will be silence in heaven for a half an hour or 30 minutes. And he said in one of my classes, he said, now you know that is only possible for some of our AG churches in heaven, because, you know, being silent is such a hard thing for us to do, not only as churches, just in general. Can you imagine coming to church and just sitting there for 30 minutes in silence? But it's hard for us to do it as individuals. Silence is really hard. Silence today is very, very hard. Which is why today you and I need more moments of silence, solitude, stillness before the Lord. And it's a hard practice. It'll take a while to develop this. But as you do this day after day after day, you will find your heart longing for these moments of silence and meditation And so we start with silence. We move to Lectio, where we read aloud scripture. And though you can do this silently, there is something that I think is important when we read it aloud. Again, both are okay. I would recommend, after many years of doing this, I actually recommend reading this aloud, if you're able to. Because hearing it and hearing the inflection and hearing the pauses as we read it can help us externalize and then bring it internal, because every other part of this step will be internal except for oratio, if you want to pray out loud. But all these other steps are more internal, and so there's something about bringing the word external as well as internal as we are attempting to hear God's voice. And so we read scripture, and we read in Lectio, we take just a few verses, take one or two or three verses, a section, and just read it aloud, slowly, carefully, and read it over a few times, pausing in between. And in some practices of Lectio Divina, they might recommend allowing a word or a phrase to jump out at you or stand out to you. Is there a word or a phrase that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind? And if not, that's okay. The process and the practice itself is worth doing, even if you're not feeling or hearing a direct or a word or a phrase that's coming to you from one of the verses. Just the experience of being with God and feeling His presence. And in fact, I've had students, I've led this in many classes and even in church settings, and I've had people say to me that really even just the experience of just feeling God's presence or being aware of God's presence has been powerful for them, even if they're not hearing a direct word. But again, you can just reflect upon whether or not there's a word or there's a phrase that stands out to you from the reading. And then in the next step, meditatio, we meditate on that word or that phrase. What does that mean to me? Why is the Lord bringing that to my attention? In Psalms 1, 1 through 2, it says that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What does that word meditate mean? How is it different from study? How is it different from reading? On his law he meditates, he thinks, he dwells. It must have an impact on his life if he doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Something has to be different with that word meditate. Something is impacting his life so that he doesn't do all those things. But as in verse 3 it says, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Whatever he does prospers. What is the difference between the man and the other man or the other people? The difference is he is meditating. There's something about meditating that causes the shift in a person's life. And so meditating is dwelling upon that word or that phrase, and it's allowing the Lord to speak to you. It's not dissecting, and again, our analytical brains, those of us who are analyzers, we may want to really, really dive into that. What does the Greek mean there? What does the Hebrew mean there? Again, that's not the place for it. You can do that another time, but right here and now, we're just using scripture. This is what excites me. This is the power of the Word of God. This is not anybody else telling you what to think about this passage. This is not anybody else, influencing you. This is simply God's word coming alive to you. And so you're taking whatever that word or that phrase or the overall theme, and you're meditating on it. And then in oratio, the fourth step, you are responding back to God what you feel like he is saying to you. So taking that passage of scripture in Psalms 1 and that word meditate, I might respond in this way. I might reflect upon the fact that God, that you are calling me into a deeper form of meditating, a deeper form of understanding and getting into your scripture. God, I want to be that person who not prospers necessarily financially, but prospers in that I can be a light to you. I do not want to be the person who is drowning in the counsel of negativity and sinners and mockers, but I want to be the one who delights in your law. And so you respond back in that oratio. The fifth step in Mulholland Steps is contemplatio, and this is where we once again wait upon and yield to the Lord. So notice that it's a movement here. In silence, in silencio, we wait. In silence. In lectio, we read and we hear God's voice. In meditatio, we reflect and think and chew upon what we have heard. In oratio, we respond to God. And then in contemplatio, we once again wait. As if we've responded to God, and now we are waiting for him once again to speak to us. We contemplate on what we have experienced, heard, felt. And then in incarnatio, that is the sixth step, the second step that Mulholland adds to the classical four steps. He adds incarnatio, and that word incarnation, it's a reference back to Jesus becoming the incarnation, the God incarnate, God in human form. And it has this concept of taking on. So in incarnatio, we take on the word of God. We live it out for others. We become the word of God to others. We apply, and this is really the crux of it here. We commit to applying and living out this word. Whatever that means, whatever that is reflected through our experience, we kind of bring it all together and we say, Father, now help me today. Here is how I believe you are calling me to live out that word in incarnatio. Silencio, lectio, meditatio, oratio, contemplatio, and incarnatio. And so what I'm going to do with us here, I am going to take us through these steps. I'm going to use Psalm 23. I'm only going to use the first three verses because it is, even though it's such a beautiful psalm and it would be great to do all of it, there's so much here that we would need to break it down. And you could really break down verses 1 through 3, 4 could be a whole separate point. And then 5 and 6 could be their own verses together in lectio. You could really do three different experiences through this, taking a month and taking 3 weeks and taking a week per each of these three sections. And that is what I would encourage as you practice this. Take a verse or a few verses and reflect and meditate on these, practice this experience for several days at a time. This is not, again, attempting to dissect, analyze, or pull information. And I also want to encourage you not to see this as a way to prep for your next sermon or lesson. The purpose, this time is for you and God. Now, out of it may come things that you want to share with others, but it is for you. Do not replace this with your regular sermon development and prep, because there are things that will only be for you. And because we are isolating these passages of scripture, a verse or a few verses, it would be very easy to take these verses out of context, which we know is a bad thing, and we know is where a lot of pastors and ourselves, we get ourselves into trouble by taking passages of scripture out of context. And so you do want to be careful with that. And so maybe taking Psalms, taking some prayers. Prayers are a good way to start in this. Taking some of the Psalms, taking some of the prayers, the Lord's Prayer. Paul has a few prayers in his writings. Or taking verses that seem like they could be standalone verses where they are commands. And they reflect, for example, James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Verse 9, I think, is resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves, verse 10, before the Lord and he will lift you up. Well, you could take those three together. You could take them individually, and you could allow, although I don't know that I would recommend just meditating on James 4:9 and resisting the devil. You could, but it's not about really thinking about the devil, and it's about thinking about God and his experience with us. So you could do that. But and so I, again, encouraging you not to take this out of context, but the simplicity of keeping it to one or two or three verses is important, because you don't want to overload yourself. Robert Mulholland talks about the fact that today we read for information as opposed to transformation. And we do that with scripture. And so the goal here is not to become informed about the Bible, but transformed by scripture through God as he is speaking to us. And so what I want you to do as I guide you through these steps in Psalm 23, I don't want you to have the scripture open in front of you. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. I just want you to listen to me. And as I prompt and guide you, just follow the steps through and get in a place where you can be alone, where you can close your eyes. If you can't close your eyes and you're driving, then, keep your eyes open. You can still do it with your eyes open. The best way to do this, though, is to be in a space where you are alone. You are able to relax to a certain extent. You are able to close your eyes. And as I lead you through, I want you to just invite God into this space, into your awareness, and allow him to speak to you. And Father, as we move into this sacred reading, this spiritual reading of your scripture, of your word, we bring our full bodies, our hearts, our minds, our souls present. We focus our thoughts and our attention upon you. And we pray that you would commune with us as we read and reflect upon and live out your word. And if at any point, as I lead you through this, if you want to pause and just take even more moments to be at whatever step you want, feel free to do so. And so in silencio, we come and we silence ourselves in stillness before the Lord. And as the thoughts may crowd into your mind, You can just let them come and go. And even be aware of where your thoughts are, your emotions, any noises around you. It's okay. You can't completely silence things, but you are coming to God in silence. And in Lectio, we read Psalm 23, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And in Meditatio, we meditate upon the word that we have heard. And in Oratio, we respond back to God what we feel like he is saying to us. And in contemplatio, we once again wait upon the Lord. And in incarnatio, we commit to allowing the Word to be incarnate in us as we live out of that Word today. And Father, be our shepherd. As we yield and submit to you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I went through that a little bit more quickly than I would if you were, maybe if you were doing that, or if I were doing that by myself, or even in a class setting, but because this is a podcast, there might be, you know, people are clicking in and there's silences that may not be good. But what I want to encourage you to do is to, again, even take longer spaces, however long you need. This can be as short or as long as it needs to be, but it doesn't need to be an hour and 2 hours or 3 hours. And just reflect upon the simplicity of it. You're just taking time to slow down, read scripture, and work your way through a process of meditating on it, praying it back to God, and saying, God, this is my desire to live this out today. It's such a beautiful practice, so simple, and is an effective way of getting yourself into the Word so that God can transform you through the Word. Now, there are multiple ways of even doing the meditatio or the oratio steps, and I have utilized and experienced some of them. For example, for those of you who are writers, maybe writing out a response in the oratio step, or journaling in the meditatio what you feel like the Lord is saying to you. For those of you who are artists, taking time in that meditatio or oratio time to create a picture of what you feel like the Lord is saying to you. There are ways, or if you're a singer, songwriter, if you're a musician and you want to just kind of play something that you feel, make up something that you feel like reflects what God is saying to you. There are so many ways to engage God in this and to allow it to become a little bit more external as well as internal. And so I want to encourage you to be creative with it, but to overall see God and His desire to speak to you through His Word that He has given to us, and that is available to you and I. And I pray that this would be a help and a resource to you. Well, this has been the Nefesh Podcast, and this week we've touched on Lexio Divina. I'm so glad that you've been with us, and I look forward to talking to you next time.